Well, my special guest in the studio tonight is the festival producer of the 5th Annual Jazz of Yin Sydney Festival, Stefan Willink. And he's brought with him three of the headline performers of this year's festival, vocalist Sherito from Japan, fresh from collaborations with Michel Legrand, Trisha Evie from Paris, and it's got to be said, one of the most magnetic vocal performances I've witnessed at a Manly Jazz Festival. And, of course, local singer and ABC recording artist Emma Hamilton. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks very much, Frank. Yeah. Pleasure to be here.
I wanted to get a little bit of insight into the origins, firstly, of the Jazz of Yin Festival here in Sydney. I know it's in its fifth year now. Seems to be getting bigger and better each year. I'd like to learn a little bit about the festival's history, and in particular the association with the late Rory Thomas.
Thanks very much, Frank. Yeah, this whole festival, the 5th Annual Jazz of Yin Sydney, is dedicated to the memory of Rory J. Thomas, OAM. Rory passed away late last year after a long battle with cancer. Rory was a leading jazz musician and educator for about 25 years, and he started a music school, Music Life School for Performing Arts at Rouse Hill. And over the years, he would take big bands from his school to Europe, and he played at places like Montreux and Vienne, Perugia, Berlin, etc. And he had a great association with the city of Vienne, where he was professor of jazz studies for about 10 years. And every 6 weeks, in fact, he used to fly to Vienne to teach his students. And he was the most amazing man that I've ever met, a very inspirational man. He was just a great leader of people. He had very high standards, and all of his musicians, and I've seen them now the last 6 or 7 years, have gone on to really fine careers both in Australia and overseas.
I know he was very well respected amongst musicians here in Sydney and a professor of music. Rory Thomas, was he one of the founders of this festival?
Yeah, Rory really was the driving force, and it was because of his association with Vienne. He was able to negotiate the rights to the name Jazz of Vienne for Sydney, and we started that first festival 5 years ago. This is our most ambitious year. We want to really make it a great homage to him. So we've decided to take it beyond where it started, which was the west of Sydney, which is where Rouse Hill is, where his school is. And we decided we'd go from the mountains, Katoomba, to the sea. And we've already played some very exciting gigs, starting at the Art Gallery of New South Wales last Friday, and then Katoomba. And we've moved on now to Manly Jazz.
Well, firstly, before we get into that, if we can have a little bit of a geography lesson. Vienne in France, whereabouts is that?
I think it's near Lyon. I think it's close to Lyon in France. Yes.
Okay. So, and it's quite a large jazz festival. What can you describe the layout and environment of that festival?
I've actually not been to the Vienne Festival myself. I visited Vienne, and we've negotiated, again, an extension of the rights to the name of Vienne. But I understand it's about the second largest jazz festival in Europe each year. I think it's just behind Montreux and perhaps a little bit behind North Sea Jazz, so it's right up there.
So do you have the same designs on the Jazz of Yin Sydney?
I dream. I certainly dream about things. I think this is a great opportunity to take jazz to the public in all sorts of venues and in all sorts of ways. And the reason for Jazz of Yin Sydney really is to bring the youth, the young musicians, to play with the professional and the outstanding musicians such as the ones that we brought to Australia and people like Emma. It's really about education as well as playing.
Trisha, if we can start with yourself, you chose some beautiful standards, jazz standards, to sing today.
Yeah.
How do you go about choosing your material?
It's about love. When I listened to the music and I fell in love with, I want to sing it just like that, yeah.
Now, I got the feeling Ella Fitzgerald was a big influence on you.
Yeah. I used to say that I learned jazz with her CD.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, I really like her. And Billy, too, but,
Any other major influences?
Oh, I listened to Louis Armstrong, Mel Torme, Billie Holiday, Nat King Cole, so yeah.
Now, you're originally from the Caribbean island of Guadeloupe.
Yeah.
Did you grow up there, or when did you move to Paris?
In fact, I was born in Paris, but I was three years old when I moved in Guadeloupe, and I spend all my young in Guadeloupe, and I come back to Paris. I came back to Paris in 2006 for study.
So how do you get involved with jazz in the Caribbean? How is it?
It was an accident. I was invited by a musician to a concert in the Duc de Lombard. It's a club in Paris, and I went there and I saw my first jazz show, a concert, and I fell in love with this music again. It's always a matter of love. And I had the jam session 2 days after the show. I was only singing Begin, you know, West Indies songs. So I do the two songs. Then some musician told me that I should learn to jazz, so I started and begin. Yeah.
There was one thing I wanted to ask you specifically about your performance this afternoon.
Yeah.
I noticed the lack of drums in your lineup. You preferred to use just hand percussion rather than using a drummer. Well, I noticed that you work with a guitar
and saxophone
in Paris.
Is
there something? You know, something about the drums that...
No, it's just because I had this trio in Paris, and we had a gig in the restaurant, but there weren't enough place to a drum or a piano, so I had to choose. Don't laugh at me. Okay. I had to choose a guitar and a sax.
Yeah,
so no place to drum and no place to piano. And this trio start to come famous, so we record a CD. And to Jazz à Vienne, it's Matt and Stefan who chose my musicians, and they didn't choose a drummer, so ask him why. But I like drum, I like bass.
Stefan might like to add something.
Well, I was going to ask, are you actually a drummer, Frank? Is that why you're asking the question?
No.
Do you want to play with me? I'll be happy.
Oh, what an opportunity. Emma, to you now, and as I mentioned before, you've recorded an album on ABC, but at what point in your life did you decide to become a jazz singer, or a singer indeed?
Well, I know it sounds like a cliche, but I always wanted to be a singer. My dad was a singer, and I just, from a very young age, just always liked writing songs. But jazz, I would have been 16 or 17, and I'd been doing so much classical piano, and I just realized it wasn't for me, and I still to this day struggle reading music. I was always trying to improvise over the classical pieces my teacher was giving me, and I went to Soup Plus when that was around, when I was about, yes, year 10 at high school, and a bit like Trisha, I just fell in love. I was thinking, what is this? This is amazing. And when I experienced the ability to improvise and just the freedom in music, that's when I was just converted, and I thought, yeah, this is for me.
The question always comes up, you know, there's singers who try to sing jazz, and then there's really jazz singers. Can I open it up for you? What is it as far as jazz is concerned? What do you need to do to be able to sing jazz?
Ooh, yes.
Who'd like to take that one?
Sherry, though.
Sherry,
why is the hardest question?
Well, as Emma just mentioned, it's about improvisation, I would say, and really jazz is a very demanding genre, and for us singers, you have to use your instrument. You cannot just sing. You really have to be able to know what the music is all about and be able to play around it and do things around it and compose as you play. So all about improvisation.
So it's a spontaneous
exactly.
aspect of the music.
Exactly.
Interaction with your other performers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very important.
Yes. Was this recorded after the death of Michael Jackson?
Exactly. I met Harvey Mason a few years back, and then I was doing a gig in Tokyo, and he came into the club, and I guess he was overwhelmed, and he came up to me and saying, and told me, "Chirito, I want to produce a CD with you." And it took us a few months, or almost a year or more, and then he calls me right after the death of Michael, and I was also in LA doing another gig, and he asked me if I like Michael Jackson. We were all shocked at that time, and I so happened to be in LA, and I go, "Yeah, sure," but it just didn't occur to me what, you know, what songs I would be singing, because immediately you would think about "Beat It" or "Thriller" or, you know, "Billie Jean," and I go, "Okay, yeah," and then I stepped back and research, and of course I did love Jackson 5 since, because he's my generation, and then I've, there's a whole lot of beautiful music that he has recorded, and Harvey loves him, we all love him.
Yes.
And we came up with this great arrangement.
Well, Miles Davis was the first, I guess, to explore some of Michael Jackson's music, and then in recent times, I think, even since the death of Michael Jackson, Joey DeFrancesco, the organ player, who I think played with Miles for quite some time, has recorded an album, all of Michael Jackson tunes as well, mm-hmm. on High Note Records.
I also want to say that one of Rory's sons, Matt Ishon, is now running the school. Rory asked him to do that before he passed away, and Matt's doing an absolutely fine job. And I might also say that Ben Hurley is there as a sort of musical director. Ben is a former student of Rory's. And indeed, Rory did such a great job with his students that there are 10 teachers in the school, and they're all ex-students of Rory's. And they've come back now to give Music Life School of Performing Arts a real kick along. And I think they're going to go places as a school. So it's well done to you, Matt, if you're listening.
Let's come back to the artists now. And I wanted to chat to you, Chirito, and just in relation about the situation with jazz in Japan, especially at these difficult times for Japan. I know jazz in Japan is very, very popular, probably much more per capita popular than what it is here in Australia. The market share over there is quite high in comparison to Australia.
Yeah.
How has jazz been affected by the goings on in Japan,
yeah,
in recent
pretty
times.
Much, yes. We do get a high number of artists coming from all over, since because next to New York, or maybe same as New York, we are also considered as a mecca of jazz already. But after the disaster, you know, there were cancellations and it has affected us quite greatly, and people not wanting to come in the beginning. But it has settled, and slowly we're moving along. Yes, it's okay.
What about from a personal perspective in Japan at the moment? How are the people coping mentally? Are they on edge, or?
Yeah, well, the Japanese are very well known for their resilience, so we are very positive, and we move on. We're working very hard. So whatever problem there is, we just have to move on. So yeah, it's very positive. It's hard. It's going to be a long-term process for everyone, whatever business, but it's moving on.
Hmm.
We're moving on.
Now, we spoke about all your influences before, and mainly singers. I'll open this up to everyone. Are you necessarily influenced just by singers, or do you gain any influence from jazz instrumentalists?
Me, yes, I would say I was an R&B singer first, and in Tokyo. But I, like Emma mentioned earlier, I wasn't really satisfied with just singing what I was singing at the time. And then in Tokyo, I found this whole bunch of clubs that, you know, where you can, you know, sing and enjoy freedom, and I got to know a lot of brilliant musicians, first-class musicians, top musicians, Japanese musicians in Tokyo. And my first mentor would be a trumpet player. His name is Taro Masahino, and I
learned so much from him. That's why I listen to a lot of horns, yeah.
I like Stan Getz.
Uh-huh.
I like the way he plays, and I like the solo. It's always melodic. And about the question that you asked before, how to be a singer, jazz singer, I think you should play an instrument because you have to listen all the notes, you know what I mean? I play piano, Shadow play guitar, piano too, it helps. Mm-hmm. You need to understand what the music is.
And it goes the other way too. Most of the instrumentalists that I speak to
like
say that they need to know the lyric.
Oh, for sure.
Well. And they want to understand the lyric.
Same, yeah.
To
and
interpret
a lot of
the
musicians like sing.
Yes.
So it's
I definitely agree with Tricia. I'm a singer piano player, and the artists that inspire me are often the ones that sing and play at the same time. And I'm really inspired by Blossom Dearie, Dr. John, Ray Charles, I mean, even, you know, Diana Krall. I just really appreciate that connection between singing and accompanying yourself and playing lines or whatever. So again, it comes back to treatise, the connection between, the melodies and improvising and sort of working off the music in a singing capacity.
Speaking of connections now, Emma, you have some French connections, clearly. I mean, your album, La Musique, on the ABC jazz label. Now, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, yeah, I have a French mother and an Australian father, so I've always had both cultures sort of living between two worlds a bit. And I guess I made this album last year. Actually, I was sort of saying to my brother today that exactly today last year I started recording the album at the ABC, 3rd of October. And we sort of decided to make an album of some French classic songs. And on my album, there's definitely a very big jazz and swing influence, but I'm quite open to lots of genres, and I think I have lots of influences in the way that all the music that I like. I like everything from Paul Simon to, Ella Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. So
So your next album won't necessarily be along these cross-cultural lines.
Well, I think that the French influence is such a big part of who I am, so I think that I'll always be singing in French and having a French connection. But, I'm not too sure about the next one. It's probably, I think it's going to be originals.
Tricia, I was going to ask you about a piece that you sang this afternoon.
It's a traditional song from Haiti.
Would you like to sing a little bit for us?
A little bit now?
But you have to sing with me.
Wangolo wale kilewa vinyuwe mongo wale Wongolo wale kilewa viniwe moko wale kilewa viniwe moko pei a changé kilewa viniwe moko pei a changé kilewa viniwe moko wale.
Can you sing with me?
Okay.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Patricia Evie.
I can't give you anything but love, baby. That's the only thing I'm plenty of. Baby, dream a while, we're sure to find happiness. And I guess all those dreams you always fight for, look so swell. Day, diamond bracelets, worth more than sail. Baby, till the lucky day, you know darn well. Baby, I can give you anything. I can give you anything. I can.
Thank you very much for joining me in the studio tonight, ladies, and Stefan, and all the best with Thursday night's performance, and indeed the rest of the performances for Jazz of Vienna in Sydney.